Lord, to examine ourselves, God. You know what we need. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to each and every one of us. And God, we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just kind of tell you what's going on. Peter is the first one to actually preach to the Gentiles, and Peter's the first one to start, and I'll get into some of that in just a little bit, leading the Gentiles to the Lord. And what happens is Peter is with the Gentiles. He is with the Gentiles now, and he's eating with the Gentiles. He is worshiping with the Gentiles. But when those from Jerusalem, when those Jews come in, Peter separates himself from the Gentiles. And he starts hanging with the Jews. And Paul saw this. And Paul gets upset. And Paul rebukes the old preacher in front of everybody. Amen? And this is the one that walked with Jesus. Peter walked on the water. He preached at Pentecost. He made the mistake. He denied Jesus three times. And even after he denied Jesus three times, he still had to fight the fight every day. Let me tell you something, folks. Being spiritually mature does not mean perfect. And if you think you're going to live perfect, you are sadly mistaken. We had a guy in Conway. He was a good man. Went to church with him. And my wife was teaching Sunday school one day, and his grandson said something about, he said, my papa was a super Christian. Let me go ahead and tell y'all something. They ain't no super Christians. Amen. You know, ain't none of us walking around with a big S on our chest. Amen. I want to preach just a little while on this thought as far as Bible study. Even Peter made mistakes. Even Peter made mistakes. Don't you know, number one, spiritually mature does not mean sinless perfection. Spiritually mature does not mean sinless perfection. Peter was a leader among the apostles. Peter was the first one to preach after Jesus was taken up. Peter was the one that everybody looked to. He was the top Christian leader. In other words, Peter was the top dog as far as Christians go. Peter was the number one disciple. We know that Peter was on the A-team. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus everywhere they went. And when Jesus was resurrected, Peter preached and 3,000 got saved at Pentecost. In chapter 3 of Acts, Peter walks through there and Peter looks down at the man that's lame. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And that man got up and walked. In the next chapter, Peter preaches and 5,000 get saved. Amen. Let me go ahead and tell you something. You ain't going to get no better of a Christian than Peter was. But just because you are good Christian don't mean you sinless. God used Peter to get to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 6. Yet Peter still failed. Even great leaders slip spiritually. Let me go ahead and tell you something. Look up here. No Christian will ever get where you're above falling. Not one. Not one. We could go back, we can go back through some of the great Christian preachers that we've known in our lifetimes and at the time when Jimmy Swaggart fell, I'm talking about it knocked the sail out of the church in America. Some of y'all remember what I'm talking about. I mean, my pastor that I grew up under loved Jimmy Swaggart, and when that happened, it crushed him. When PTL, all that happened up there, that hurt the church, amen. And every time something happens, every time somebody puts too much confidence in a preacher or too much confidence in a church leader and they fall, it always hurts the church. It always hurts the name of Christ. The danger of thinking we're above failure. See, pride says, I won't never do that. Yeah. Amen. Psalm verse 6. But we are. We ought to have enough grace to try and keep us from sin.
Amen.
But when we do sin, when we do make a mistake, we have an advocate with the Father, amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. But we don't go out and intentionally sin. Now let me go and tell you, let me just stop right here. Peter was not preaching heresy. Peter was not preaching a false doctrine. Peter was just doing a little something that wasn't right. In other words, Peter was hanging around with the Gentiles, but when the Jews come, of the circumcision, those were the righteous Jewish people, the Sanhedrin and the high priest and all those, when those that had gotten saved, when they come in, Peter turned his back on the Gentiles and started walking with them. You ever been in church? And you get and you see these people and they got their little clique. And they'll talk to you as long as that clique ain't there. They'll shake your hand as long as the other people ain't there. See, that's what Peter was doing. He wasn't falling into gross sin, but he was still wrong. Peter knew the truth. The fear of people can lead Christians to sin. The fear of people can lead us to do wrong. Peter knew the truth. He had seen these Gentiles get saved. Peter, in Acts chapter 10, Peter preached to the Gentiles. He saw them get filled with the Holy Ghost. He knew that they had accepted God by faith, by saving grace, by through faith, that not himself, as the evangelist. He knew how they had gotten saved. He knew they had gotten saved the same way that the Jews had gotten saved. He knew they were filled with the Holy Ghost the same way that the Jews were filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw them speak with new tongues the same way that the Jews saw. He saw them speak with new tongues. In other words, Peter saw them get saved. He knew that they were saved. He knew there was nothing wrong with what they were doing. But yet when them Jews come up,
come on, preacher,
he went that way. See, Peter feared the circumcision group, the Jews. Now see, get a picture in your mind. Peter's over here eating with these Gentiles. I don't know how I can explain this any better than to just say this was the ghetto crowd, this was the low crowd over here, this was the poor people. Peter's over here associating with them and eating with them. And now when the other crowd comes, Peter don't want to go over there. Well, if I stay over here, come on. What are they going to say about me? I'm a church leader. If I stay over here, what are they going to, they're going to be talking about me. If I stay over here, they're going to start running me down. If I stay over, see, think about this. If I stay over here, they're going to think I'm running with this crowd. Well, you were running with that crowd. There's nothing wrong with running with that crowd. That crowd's just the same as the other crowd. Let me tell you something. I don't care what color the church is. Hey, saved is saved.
Amen.
I don't care what denomination the church is. Saved is saved. And you got to understand something, folks. It don't matter what everybody else thinks. If I'm with Wes, glory to God, I don't care what nobody else thinks. I'm with Wes. If I'm with Jackie, I don't care what nobody else thinks. Understand it? Understand it. Peter was worried about what they were going to say about him. How many times have I tell y'all, I'm the most honest preacher you'll ever have. But when God called me to preach, Chucky, I saw things that you don't normally see in church. And until you run in that crowd, you won't never see it. I've seen preachers shun other preachers. I've seen
from a certain college shunned other preachers that graduated from another college.
Right.
Yeah. Come on. Geraldine knows what I'm talking about. I've seen preachers that graduated college shun them preachers that didn't go to school. But you don't see that in a normal church setting. But when you start running with that crowd and you start hanging around with that crowd, you see what I'm talking about. And I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of jealousy among preachers. And when you run with this crowd, let me go tell y'all something. Everybody that knows me, okay, I'm talking about from Welch College to Southeastern College, from Preachability in Indiana all the way down to Florida. Everybody knows me, knows the crowd I run with. I run with the King James Version crowd, amen. I run with the shouting crowd. I run with the crowd that likes to worship. I run with the crowd that likes to get happy, glory to God. I'm going to tell you, we was at a state meeting one time down at Mott Savannah, and a lot of them big wheels from Nashville was there. Our national president was there, and some of the others were there, and the Phillips family got to singing, and they all got invited to the Phillips family. The next thing I did, I was down in front of the church and I was having myself a fit. That college crowd was looking at us like we was crazy. But you know what? We was looking at them like they was crazy. And that's what I'm talking about. And see, the thing about it is that some of that college crowd, if they'd been by themselves, they'd been in front of the church. Come on, preacher. But because somebody else was there, they did. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Peter was doing. Understand that. He was worried about what they were going to say. And listen, hypocrisy can affect even the faithful.
Come on, preacher.
Peter was being a hypocrite. Peter acted one way and then he changed. He would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he turned around and started going. Hypocrisy is living contradictory to what we know is right. How many times do we do that? Hypocrisy is living contradictory to what we know is right. How many times do we do that? In our everyday walk.
Bless you, God.
We know we're not supposed to watch this, but we watch it.
Come on.
We know we're not supposed to listen to this, but we listen. We know we're not supposed to look at this, but we look. That's hypocrisy. Amen? That's hypocrisy. Saying one thing, doing another. I'll never forget, we were having a yard sale up in our life center several years ago. This guy come in, he was a big old joker. He said, "Can I speak to you outside?" I said, "Sure." He pulled me outside, kind of back over there where the playground's now. He said, he talked about a certain fellow that was in that church. He said, "That man go to this church?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, I'm telling you right now," I said, "that man's a Christian. I ain't got nothing to worry about." He said, I've said at Waffle House and heard that man talk about people. And I'm sitting there thinking, what are we doing? What are we doing? People are listening to the way you and I talk. Mark Twain said this, "We're all like the moon. We have a dark side and we don't want nobody to see." Amen. Yeah. I'm going to say that one more time. "We're all like the moon. We have a dark side that we don't want nobody to see." Listen, I'm glad y'all don't have to put up with what Jerron had to put up with. Amen.
Come on, preacher.
And I'm glad you don't come to church and blab about what you have to put up with. Contrary to popular belief, I'm still human. And she and I every once in a while fuss and fight.
Come on.
This is kind of a little funny story. They said this here. Pompous acting deacon was trying to impress his Sunday school class one day. He had a Christian class full of boys and about living a Christian life. And he said, why do people call me a Christian? He was boasting about it. Why do people call me a Christian? One little fellow raised his hand and said, "Probably because they don't know you." Amen. Hypocrisy. Listen, one Christian mistake. One mistake can affect others. folks. When I leave my house and I go to Walmart, people are looking at us. I told you the story before about when we were in Walmart and the guy was shaking up some paint and that thing come off of that machine and I saw it flying through the air and I saw the paint flying through the air and the top had come off and the paint went right across my wife's shirt. Man, they was apologizing. They were having a fit. They manager come over there. She was saying, it's fine. Everything's all right. You know, don't worry about it. He said, what can we do for you? She said, well, I just bought this shirt last week here. He said, well, go get you another. The whole time I was thinking, I'm glad that didn't happen to some of my church members. Well, they showed out. Let me ask you a question. If that would have happened to you, what would you do? Would you have acted like a Christian? Or would you have showed up? Would you have brought pride to Jesus?
That's good, preacher.
That word dissemble right there, it means to act hypocritically or in concert where even Barnabas was led wrong. The Bible tells us, you know, about Barnabas, and he was a great guy, but he was led wrong by his elder. Think about that. As Christian leaders and older folks and older Christians, we ought to be setting the example. Listen, your actions are going to affect others. The Bible said in Titus chapter 2, now I'm going to read this to you. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 says this, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine. Paul is writing this, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young men and women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Now listen, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Paul says we are to live our life so that nobody can point a finger at my sin. And you blew one like that. We're supposed to be the example. I'm supposed to be the example. And that's my goal. Not only to be the example to my children and my grandchildren, but to be the example to Wes and Nicole's kids. And to be the example to everybody. That ought to be your goal. Now, listen to this. Sometimes God will use other Christians to correct you.
Yeah. Amen.
Anybody ever heard the term constructive criticism?
Yes.
First time I ever heard this term was when I joined the highway patrol. And I can't remember what I did. But we got back in the car and the guy was training me. He said, now I'm going to tell you something. I want you to get mad. But I'm going to tell you something to help you out. And he told me what I did wrong. Which I was happy, thank you for it. But constructive criticism is a specific feedback aimed at improving performance or behavior rather than attacking a person's character. Now understand it, Paul confronted Peter. And what you gotta realize is Peter was the top dog. Okay? Paul confronts Peter. And I thought about it as I was studying this today. This would be like Preacher Trevor confronting me about something. He grew up in this church. I've known him since he was a child. I saw him grow up. I saw him when God saved him. I saw him when God called him to preach. It would be like me doing something and Preacher Trevor. This is what Paul has to confront his elder. How do you think Paul felt?
Amen.
Have you ever had to confront somebody about something? You know how it tears your nerves up? Imagine having to confront the top man that's there. But thank God, Paul had enough guts about him to do it. Paul did it openly. The Bible says he rebuked him before all. Verse 14, when I saw that they walked not upright according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. Peter was in the act of doing what he was doing, and Paul rebuked him. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. If you see somebody, the Bible says if you see one of your brothers sin a sin unto death, and you don't call them out on it, their blood will be required at your hands. But if you call them out on it, then they'll have to answer for their sin. When we see somebody doing wrong, we ought to say, hold on a minute, that ain't right. That ain't right. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 20 says this. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may also fear. There's not one person in this building that's above correction. Not one. Me included. We need to be accountable for our actions. We need to be accountable for our words. Now, the thing about it is the truth of the Bible's got to be protected. Amen. If somebody's doing something that goes against this Bible, we've got to stand up against it. And that's what Peter was going against his own preaching. If you go back to the book of Acts, Peter has a vision. The table comes down and all the meat's there. And God said, God told him, said, you take it in. He said, oh, no, Lord, I've never eaten nothing that's a common or unclean. And God basically told him in the vision, he said, what I've blessed, you don't call unclean. He was talking about going to the Gentiles. And then the Bible talks about how Peter went to the Gentiles and they got saved and how they received the Holy Ghost and they were saved just like everybody else was. They were saved by grace alone, not by the law. And when the truth is at stake, silence is not an option. Listen to what I'm saying. If somebody's doing something wrong, silence is not an option. We've got to rebuke. Whether it's your mama or your daddy, or your friends, your family, your boss, your co-workers, we have to do it. The last thing is this. Failure don't mean it's the end. This was not, it, Peter was corrected, he was not rejected. Amen. At no point did Peter ever not be the man. When Paul rebuked him, he was still the top man in Jerusalem. When Paul rebuked him, he was still the top man as far as Christianity goes. The Bible tells us, if you study the Bible, Peter never argued with Paul. He never rebuked Paul for rebuking him. I kind of believe with all my heart that maybe Peter just stood back and said, you're right, and I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. I believe that's the attitude Peter would have had. Let me tell you something, folks. In the 25 years that I've been at this church, there have been a few times over the years that somebody had to rebuke me. There have been a few times over the years that I've had deacons tell me, preacher, I just don't think we need to do it that way. I don't think that's right. And I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Peter was not perfect. The Bible never tells us what Peter actually did, but I just kind of got it in my mind that he was proud of Paul for what Paul had done. Now, think about this. We need to use our mistakes to learn and try not to do it again.
Amen.
I thought about this. I was just, the most dangerous time for a police officer. The most dangerous time for a police officer is not that first shift. That first few weeks I was on the job as a police officer, I'm telling you, I was on alert. I was looking at everything. I was making sure everything was just right. I was making sure my car was just right when I stopped the car. I made sure when I walked up on the car, I was doing everything just right. You know what the most dangerous time for a police officer is? After a few years and they get used to doing what they're doing. And they don't take it as serious as they used to. It's the same for a Christian. If we ain't careful, we let slackness get into our Christian walk. And that's when we mess up. Now, what do you need to do to guard yourself? Number one, guard your heart against pride. Pride is a devastating thing. Don't fear God. Don't fear people more than you fear God. Stay humble and teachable. And remember, God can restore anybody that falls.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. If this situation were in you, how would you have done it? See, we got a lot of things going on tonight in this Bible study, in this sermon. We got like, number one, would you be like Paul? Would you rebuke somebody? Number two, are you like Peter? Do you show favoritism? Are you any kind of hypocrisy? Number three, are you like Barnabas? Are you following somebody? Are you following somebody because what they're doing, and you're not doing it the right way because you're following them? How is it yours? Don't you mind me here, please.